moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press with guest Roy Cohn in a newsworthy broadcast. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. It's handled unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
I could tell he was a big man from the sound of his steps as he plowed through the trees toward where I was squatted by the fire eating my lunch. Finally came into sight. He's almost as broad as he was tall, with bright red hair and a great big thick mustache that kind of curled up at the corners. Well, he sure wasn't any cowhand. Not with those duds he was wearing. Long black coat and light yellow breeches. Looked like he'd been wearing them for quite a spell, too, though. Mud all over the pants and a tear in one of the coat sleeves. He seemed cheerful enough, though. At least the grin he gave me was so broad it showed off practically every tooth in his head. Lots of gold there, too.
Howdy, mister.
Hello.
Mind if I warm myself for a spell?
No. Go right ahead.
That sun just don't give off much heat. What time you make it, mister?
About noon. Maybe a little later.
Hey, that grub sure smells good, don't it?
Are you hungry?
Well, not hungry exactly. Starved, would be more like it.
Why, you help yourself to what's left of the beans over there.
Well, thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. Worked up quite an appetite since breakfast.
They traveling on foot, huh?
Yep. Not from choice, understand. From choice.
Oh, yeah.
Had me pony. Finest little roan you ever saw. I lost him, though. Oh, by George, those beans are tasty.
Well, you lost your horse?
Yep. Last night. Poker game over to Jackson.
Poker, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, you're a gambler, huh?
Well, the way the cards been running lately, I ain't so sure.
I say.
But if I had to go broke somewheres, I guess Jackson was as good a place as any. At least it's within walking distance of Clover Fork.
Well, that's quite a walk.
Don't I know it. I ain't got much further to go, though, have I?
About 15 miles, I think.
Well, I reckon I'll make it somehow. You acquainted with Clover Fork, mister?
Some. I've been working on a ranch not very far from there. Usually get into town every week or so. That's where I'm headed now.
Well, then, maybe you can tell me where I'll find my family. My wife and son, that is. Their name's Proctor.
What? Proctor?
Well, they're still living in Clover Fork, ain't they? That's where they'd moved to last time I heard. Janet Proctor, that's my wife. Boy's called Ted after his grandfather. You know him, mister?
Yeah, I know Ted.
Oh, I'll bet he's a whopper by now. Why, he must be, well, let's see, he's going on 12 years old.
He's a good-sized boy, all right.
Well, what about Janet, mister? She's still pretty. She used to be pretty as a picture when she was a girl.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Proctor's dead.
What?
Yeah, she's, it was over a year ago now, pneumonia.
Janet? Dead?
Yes, I'm very sorry, Proctor. It's funny they didn't let you know.
I reckon they tried. I ain't an easy man to reach. I keep moving around.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, I didn't realize that Ted's father was still alive. I Sort of got the impression that you were dead.
Poor Janet. She sure never had much of a life. It was my fault. My fault more than anybody's, I guess. But I just couldn't do no different. I tried to settle down, get a steady job. It didn't work out. Some men aren't meant to stay put.
Yeah?
Now, it wasn't that I really left her, you understand. At first, he used to come back whenever I had a winning streak and got some money ahead. And as time went on, I kept staying away longer and longer until... Well, it's been 7-8 years now. She wasn't living in Clover Fork when I last saw her. She told me she was fixing to move there. I thought, sure, I'd be around this part of the country before now, but... Hell, there always seemed to be another card game to keep me away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I...
Ted's all right, you said, huh?
Yeah, oh, yes, he's fine last time I saw him.
Who's looking after him now?
Well, your wife's sister. He's been living with her the last year.
Amy? Well, she's just a girl.
Oh, she must be getting on to 30.
30? Well, ain't she married yet?
No, there's talk, though. Fred Baker, a real nice fella. He owns a ranch right outside of town.
Well, how's Amy managing? She don't have no money.
Well, I guess you didn't know it, but your wife had built up a pretty nice little dressmaking trade, and Amy took it over. Woman folks say she's real handy with a needle.
Oh.
Ted does his part, too. Odd jobs after school, things like that. Oh, you'll be real proud of that boy.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess I'd better be moving along.
Well, I'll just clean this kettle out with some sand here.
I'd like to offer you a ride into town, but my horse is losing a shoe. I don't think you could carry both of us.
Oh, that's all right, mister. That's all right. Yeah, thanks for the grub.
Oh, don't mention it.
Say, well, doggone it. I don't know your name, do I?
Oh, it's Ponson.
Not Britt Ponson.
That's right.
Well, I always figured I'd be meeting up with you someday. Where the both of us keep moving around. I'm real pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. Oh, my first name's Gus.
How are you, Gus?
Before you shove off, I was wondering if you'd mind doing me a little favor.
Hmm?
As long as you'll be getting into Clover Fork ahead of me, would you stop off and tell Amy and the boy that I'm coming to see him for a day or so? I think maybe they kind of deserve a warning.
Sure, I'd be glad to, Gus.
Fred, it isn't fair. He's got no right to come here, not after all this time.
Well, Amy, he's Ted's father.
He was Janet's husband, too. But that didn't make any difference to him. Nobody else ever made any difference. Now, all of a sudden, he remembers that he's got a son. Why didn't he ever think about Ted before?
Now, don't get yourself all upset over it. He's only passing through. He'll just be here a day or so. That's what he said.
What will it do to Ted? He thinks his father's dead.
He would. Oh.
I had to tell him something, Britt. When Janet was so sick, he got the idea that if his pa was here, she'd get better. I could hear little Teddy praying. Every night he prayed that his father would come home. And when he didn't and Janet died, well, I told him Gus was dead. I said that was why he hadn't come. And for all I knew, it was true. For all I knew, he was dead.
Well, I'm not saying I blame you, Amy, but Proctor's on his way into town, so if you want to explain to Ted, why...
He isn't even here. He had some errands he was going to do for me on his way home from school. I imagine he'll... Oh, that'll be Mrs. Peters. I promised her I'd have a dress ready for tonight, and it's barely started.
Oh.
Hello, Amy.
But Gus.
You were expecting me, weren't you?
Yes, but not yet. Not so soon. Britt said you wouldn't be here until later.
Well, made better time than I expected. Sidebuster would give me a ride in his wagon.
Oh. Well, come in.
Howdy, Mr. Ponsett. Nice seeing you again.
How are you, Gus?
My. You turned out real pretty, Amy.
Have I?
Well, I think maybe I'd better be getting
along. There's no reason for you to go, Britt.
No, I have to get me a room for the night. Now, you and Gus have things to talk over.
We don't have anything to talk about.
Now, Amy, I know how you must feel.
You don't know how I feel. You couldn't know. It wasn't pneumonia that killed Janet. When you left that last time and didn't come back. When she didn't even hear from you. That's what killed her.
Well, I couldn't help myself. Amy, it wasn't that I didn't love Janet, but...
Oh, go away, please. Leave us alone. Ted believes that you're dead. It's better that way.
He believes I'm dead?
Oh, don't make him go through the same thing Janet did. Always wondering where you are, always worrying about you. Let him go on believing you're dead.
Amy, you shouldn't have...
I won't, Aunt Amy. Got the black thread you wanted, a piece of silk material, but...
Hello, Teddy. You remember Mr. Ponsett?
Oh, sure.
All right, Ted.
Just fine, Mr. Ponsett.
Ted, this is...
I reckon your aunt's forgotten my name, son. Can't say as I blame her, seeing as how we just met up. It's, Parker. George Parker. I stopped by because I used to be a friend of your pa's.
Well, Gus Proctor carried it off pretty well, too. Sounded real convincing. The only mistake he made was saying that he'd known Ted's father. Well, sir, that youngster cut loose with a whole passel of questions. And from then on, Gus had a pretty hard time keeping up the pretending. He kept trying to leave, but it seemed that he just had to stay for supper. Ted wouldn't take no for an answer, and Amy, well, she had to go along with it. Finally, Gus agreed, but he made it plain that he wouldn't be staying in Clover Fork overnight. Well, I went over to the hotel and got myself a meal and my room. Oh, Amy had invited me to supper, too, but I told her to make it some other time. After I'd eaten, I settled down in the lobby. The usual poker game was going on over in the corner. So I sat around for a while. And just as I was getting ready to go upstairs, I saw Gus come strolling in.
Good evening, Britt. I was hoping you'd not gone to bed yet.
Yeah, well, I sure was thinking about it, Gus. How was the supper?
Oh, it was first rate, first rate. Amy's a real fine cook. She's a fine woman, too, Britt. She's done a good job with the boy.
Well, I never heard anybody say otherwise. You went on playing dead, huh?
I must say, I wrote myself a mighty pretty obituary.
You did?
Yeah. As far as Ted's concerned, he's just about the greatest father that ever lived.
Mm-hmm. Why did you change your mind, Gus? Why didn't you tell him who you really were?
Well, Amy was so set against it, and, well, I don't know, I figured maybe she was right. Ain't as if I was going to be with him or be hanging around town, but, well...
Yeah?
I did sort of promise to stay over another day.
Oh?
Well, the boy wants to go hunting tomorrow. It's Saturday. He don't have no school, and he ain't never been hunting with a man, Britt. I guess I owe him that much.
Yeah, sure.
The only thing is, if I'm going to stay over, well, I'll need me a little steak. Now, I'm not asking for a loan, you understand? Well, not without offering securities, anyhow. You noticed my stick pin, didn't you?
Yeah, I noticed it.
Well, it sure looks like a genuine diamond, don't it? Oh, it ain't, of course. It's just glass, but a smooth file. I really fooled more than one jeweler with that pin. So if I wasn't to claim it back, well, you could always get more than $5 for it. You wouldn't be out nothing.
No, I don't know, because $5 is a lot of money, you know.
You'll have it back before morning.
I will, huh?
Sure. You see that game over there in the corner?
Yeah.
Well, not one of them fellas knows the first thing about poker. You can tell from the way they're holding their cards.
Maybe so. I thought you said you were in a losing streak.
Though. Well, I was until tonight. Now I got the doggonedest feeling my luck has changed. Ted sure had his heart set on going to hunt.
All right. Here you are. Here's the money.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Here's the pin.
Oh, you don't have to
go. No, sir. A business transaction is a business transaction. Now, here, you take it.
Say, by the way, What did you tell Ted about yourself? I mean, about this George Parker you're claiming to be.
Oh, I said I was a no good, no count, roving gambler.
Oh, I see you did, huh?
Well, I had to tell him some truth, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you did.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six shooter in just a moment. But I'd like to pass on a word of thanks to you, our audience. Thanks from Jimmy Stewart, from our writer, Frank Burt, the entire technical crew, and our director, Jack Johnstone, for the warm, friendly letters we receive from you every week. It makes us feel that you are somehow sharing the pleasure that is ours in bringing you the six shooter. We only wish it were possible to answer them all individually, for we appreciate hearing from you more than you may realize. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, Gus paid me back first thing next day. And he had a whole lot more than $5 in his pocket, too. Plenty of silver and roller bills. I guess his luck had changed, all right. He was all fixed up to go hunting when I saw him, wearing some new breeches and a flannel shirt, carrying a couple of first-class rifles under his arm. I went about my business, picked up some parts for the pump on the Eagle J where I was working, and headed back to the ranch. It was almost a week later before I came into town again, new harness for the mules this time. I was kind of surprised to see Gus playing poker in the hotel lobby when I registered. I figured he'd probably moved on by now. He waved to me and went on with the game, and it looked like to me he was still winning. Well, I went upstairs to my room and started to clean up for supper. Come in. Oh.
Howdy, Mr. Ponson.
Well. How are you? What can I do for you, Ted?
I stopped by the hotel to see Mr. Parker, but he's busy. He said you were back in town, so... Well, I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Ponson.
Sure, go ahead.
You're a friend of Mr. Parker's, ain't you?
Well, more or less, I reckon.
Well, I think he's getting ready to leave Clover Fork, Mr. Ponson.
Oh?
He told me he never stays in one place very long. Not more than a few days, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with him, Mr. Ponson. When he leaves, I'm going along. Oh, he don't know it yet, but I've made up my mind. I ain't never had so much fun in my whole life as I have since he's come to town. We've been hunting and fishing, and he even let me play hooky from school day before yesterday so we could hire some horses and take us a ride out in the country. Oh, only don't you tell Aunt Amy.
All right, okay.
He must like me, don't you think?
Well, it sure looks like it, doesn't it?
He says he ain't got no family of his own. Well, I bet he gets lonesome. I bet he'd like having somebody with him.
Well...
He's just got to take me along. If he don't, I'll go anyway. I'll run away and I'll follow him. And I'll find him, too.
Now, just hold on.
Oh, it ain't that I don't appreciate what Aunt Amy's done for me, but I'm grown up now. I don't need a woman fussing and making me behave. I want to be like Mr. Parker. I want to move around and see lots of places the way he does. And I'll learn to be a gambler. I've watched him. I already know how to play poker. Some.
Oh? Uh-huh. Well, most anybody can learn how to play it. Is learning how to win. That's a mite more difficult.
Well, he never loses, Mr. Ponsett. There ain't nobody who can beat George Parker.
Is that so?
He's just about the finest man I ever met. Maybe not as fine as my pa was, but he was a friend of my pa, so pa must have thought good of him, too.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been able to ask him about letting me go with him. I'm scared he'll turn me down. Of course, it wouldn't make no difference if he did. Like I said, I'll go anyhow. Well, would you ask him for me? I mean, would you tell him what I've decided?
Well, don't you think maybe you ought to talk this thing over with your Aunt Amy?
Oh, first? That'd be just a waste of time. I know what she'd say, but it wouldn't make no difference.
All right, Ted. I'll ask Mr. Parker. I mean, I'll tell him what you decided.
A I'll be doggoned. So he wants to go off with me, huh? Well, I guess that proves something. Ted's my son, all right, and I guess maybe somewhere down deep inside, he knows it.
Maybe so, Gus, maybe so.
I don't know why I never thought of it myself. Well, ain't no reason why I shouldn't take him.
I sure don't know of any.
Why not? When I was his age, I'd already left home. He'd just be following in my footsteps. Except in this way, I'd be around to look after him.
Yeah, and he's a pretty big boy. He must have had some schooling by now, probably enough. More than likely, enough.
Well, now, I don't know about that.
Well, of course, it won't make much difference, Gus, as long as he's going to be a gambler.
What?
Oh, yes. That's what he's set his mind to being, a gambler.
Well, he ain't going to be no gambler, Britt. You think I want Ted to have the kind of life I've had? You think I'm proud of myself? Man wants his son to do better than he's done. Any man wants that.
Of course he does.
I could settle down, get a job again, make a real home for him. And then later on, I could let him know who I really am, that I'm his pa. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's just what I'll do.
Sure, yeah.
What's the use of trying to fool myself? I couldn't work steady or stay put. I couldn't do it for his ma. I couldn't do it for Ted. I'd be moving on inside of 6 weeks. Well, I guess it's up to me to lay down the law to him.
You know, he's a real determined youngster, Gus. He told me he'd run away and follow after you no matter what, and I believe him.
Oh, he'd come back to Amy soon enough.
You know, you didn't come back when you were his age and you ran away, did you?
Well, he ain't me, and he ain't going to make the same mistakes I did.
Well, maybe a good talking to will set him straight. But right now, you're his idol, Gus. Finest fellow that ever lived. Next to Dad, of course.
He said that?
That's what he said.
Britt, I can't be nobody's idol. And I don't want nobody following my example. Least of all, my own boy. I'm getting out of town tonight. Right now.
Now you know, kids have pretty good memories, Gus. Some things they never forget. And some people, too. Even after you're gone, he'll still want to be like you.
No, he won't. Not if I... Hey, look, it's still early yet. I'll have time for a couple of hands of poker before I go. You don't play, do you, Britt?
No, not very much. Sometimes I kind of enjoy watching. There was a seat open when we got downstairs, and Gus moved right in. Boys sure were anxious to have him play, especially Bart Finch. Seems he'd lost quite a bit during the last week, and he wanted a chance of getting some of it back. I stood by Gus's chair watching the play. He was just about holding his own the first few minutes. Then along about the fifth or sixth hand, I noticed he sort of tensed up. That wasn't like him, not from what I'd seen of his poker playing. Gus was the dealer, and Bart opened the pot. They raised each other a couple of times, and the other players dropped out. Then it came to a draw. Bart tossed in two cards, and one of them kind of hit on edge and almost flopped over. I couldn't see what it was, though, not from where I was standing. Gus dealt Bart two fresh cards and drew to himself. And then everybody seemed to get kind of quiet. Bart made a $10 bet, and Gus raised him to $25. Bart came right back with another raise, and Gus upped it again. And, oh, that pot got to be about, $300, I think. Well, finally, Bart called.
All right, Parker, what do you got?
Well, let's see. Looks to me like about two pair.
Well, that just don't happen to be the full house.
It might.
Hmm?
You see, Finch, I got two pair of jacks.
What?
There you are. Four jacks.
Keep away from them chips, Parker.
Well, what's the matter?
You're not cheating me out of this hand.
You're talking crazy, Finch.
Oh, listen to me, boys. I threw in two discards. One of them was a jack. There's only four jacks in the deck.
Oh, he's all mixed up. That must have been the last hand.
Well, they're the discards. There's supposed to be four of them. Two from me, two from him. There, now, what did I tell you, boys? Only three. He dealt himself my jack. That's how he's been winning all week, too. That's how he got our money. Well, you ain't going to cheat anybody else, Parker.
Now, hold on. Now, take it easy, Finch.
You stay out of this, Ponset.
You put that gun away. I mean it,
Mark. You ain't going to stand up for a crooked gambler, Brett. Now I'm fixing it so he won't ever...
Now, rest of you, sit tight. If there's going to be any more gunplay around here, somebody's going to get hurt. Except for you, Parker. You better get out of town and fast. And you better think twice before you come back, too.
Don't worry, Ponset. I won't be coming back.
Mr. Ponset! Mr. Ponset!
Hmm? Oh, hello, Tad.
I've been looking all over for you. It ain't true, is it? What they say about Mr. Parker? He didn't cheat at poker. He couldn't have.
No, I'm afraid that's how it looked.
I don't believe it. I won't. He isn't that kind of man. He just isn't.
Well,
they even say that you told him to leave Clover Fork and not to come back.
That's right.
Honest, Mr. Ponset?
That's what I told him, Ted.
You mean it really happened, what I heard?
It happened, all right.
It's true. To think I wanted to go with him. I wanted to be like him. I must have been loco. Why, a man who cheats at cards... He's lower than a snake, even.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Mr. Parker had a reason for what he did.
There couldn't be no reason. Not for something like that. I wish I'd never heard of him. And I don't think he was a friend of my Pa's, either. I don't think he ever knew Pa at all. Pa wouldn't have had nothing to do with a skunk like him.
No, I don't know about that, Ted.
Well, I do.
Uh-huh. Look, maybe you ought to head for home. Your Aunt Amy will be worrying about you, don't you think?
Yeah, you bet. You know, Mr. Ponset, I ain't ever gonna leave her.
Oh, someday you will. But not for a while yet. Not for a while yet, Ted. Well, it was plain as day that pulling a stunt like Gus did in that poker game, he was bound to be found out. Any card player would know that much, let alone a man who makes his living gambling. Of course, I told Amy what he'd done and why he'd done it. You know, he wanted to tear down that idol Ted had built up. And even feeling the way she did, well, she had to admit that maybe there was some good in him. She and Fred Baker, they're married now. So Ted's got a father to take him hunting and fishing. Everybody says Fred's as good to him as if Ted was his own son. I never have run into Gus Proctor again. But like he mentioned, we're both on the move most of the time, so it's more likely we'll bump into each other someday. Anyway, I kind of hope so.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Shirley Mitchell, Dick Beals, Barney Phillips, and Robert Griffin. Special music for this program was by Basil Atlin, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. By the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Listen to Jan Murray in Sunday at Home on the NBC Radio Network.
you, that was episode 26, Thicker Than Water, with an original air date of the 14th of March, 1954. I'm going to take care of one of the obligations, FCC obligations, and then we're going to jump right into episode 91, I believe it is. 91 or 97 of Gunsmoke, with an original air date of the 27th of February, 1954. Thanks for listening. This is Arthur, the Grand Hour, here on 91.5 FM, Medford, and or WMFO.org.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
I don't know what got into the boy, Mr. Dillon. When I come for you, he was offering to shoot his initials into the mirror behind the bar.
Is he drunk, Chester?
Yes, sir. But mostly it seems like he just plain wants to howl.
Well, he can howl all he likes as long as he keeps his gun quiet.
Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
I hope that's the mirror and not some man he's shooting at.
Yeah, so do I. Old Duff would hate to lose that boy. All right, watch it now.
Look. He's laying on the floor, Mr. Dillon. He's been killed.
Look what he done to my mirror, Marshal.
You shoot him, Sam?
No, I hit him with a bung starter. He ain't dead. But I'm about to have to shoot his friend here.
Go ahead and try it.
Maybe I will.
Easy, Sam. All right, what's your name, mister?
My name's Blades. I work for Tom.
You mean you work for his father, don't you?
Well, sure, the old man owns the ranch, but me and Tom, we work together.
Oh, my.
Pick up his gun before he comes to, Chester.
Yes, sir.
All right, Blades. Tom's going to sleep it off in jail. You want to be locked up with him, or you're going to go home quietly?
I ain't done nothing. It was that girl over there got him started.
Oh, what girl?
That one sitting at the table in the red dress.
What, Kitty?
Yeah, that's her name. Wait till old Dolph hears you threw his son in jail.
I'll tell him myself. Now, you get out of here.
I'm going. He's at the Dodge House right now, Marshal. I'd like to hear you tell him.
Can you get Tom over to the jail, Chester?
Yes, sir, I sure can.
All right, lock him up. I'll be back later.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, come on now, Tom. You ain't hurt, man.
You gonna let Chester put him to bed, Matt?
Yeah.
Sam knocked all the fight out of him, Kitty.
I know. I saw it.
Blade said that, you made him mad.
That's one way of putting it.
Oh, what do you mean?
He made me mad. I don't like fresh kids, Matt.
Tom Vickers must be 20.
Well, he's been acting like a kid. You know, Matt, he's changed lately. He used to be a gentleman like his father. I don't know what's come over him, but if he were mine, I wouldn't allow him off the ranch.
Well, maybe you've just forgotten what it's like to be young, Kitty.
I'm young enough to pour this glass of beer over your head.
You know what I mean.
Sure.
Well, that fellow Blades is older, though. Maybe he's responsible for Tom's jumping the fence.
I don't like him at all. I'm sure he isn't a good influence on Tom.
Yeah, Tom's too easily led. Yeah, he isn't the man his father is.
He sure isn't. Anyways, he better leave me alone.
Yeah, I'll tell him to. Well, I gotta go see Dolph now.
He isn't gonna like your throwing his son in jail.
Yeah, maybe not. But a stranger was shot and killed on his range yesterday. And I don't like that.
Oh? I hadn't heard.
Well, they haven't been talking much about it.
Well, looks like you and Dolph are in for a pleasant little talk.
Yeah. Well, so long, Kitty.
Goodbye, Matt.
Marshal, come in.
How are you, Dolph?
Fine, Marshal. I've been sitting here smoking a cigar before I went to bed. Have one?
No, thanks. Dolph, I got some bad news for you.
Tell me.
Tom tried to shoot up the Texas Trail a while ago. Sam laid him out, and right now he's in jail.
Anybody hurt?
Oh, the boy's got a bump on his head, that's all.
I don't like the idea of Vickers being in jail.
I'm sorry, Dolph.
How do I get him out?
Well, I'll turn him loose in the morning.
No Vickers was ever in jail before, Marshal.
Well, it's not that important to me, Dolph. If you want him out now, you can come and get him.
No. No, he's done wrong. He's got to pay for it. I thank you for coming to tell me, Marshal.
Sure, Dolph, sure. But there's something else I want to talk to you about.
What's that?
Well, I heard that a man was shot and killed on your range yesterday.
It's true.
Who did it?
He was rustling cattle, Marshal.
Oh. Well, were you there?
No, but I've been losing a lot of stock lately. That fella got caught by my men, put up a fight. So, there's one less thief around.
You know who this man was?
Never saw him before. But there's nothing wrong with shooting thieves, is there?
Well, not if I try to shoot you first.
I'm going to hire me some gunmen, Marshal. I'll show with them...
That'll just cause trouble, Dolph. Gunmen will shoot anybody that happens along and then claim that they put up a fight. You know what they're like.
Then everybody better stay away.
Everybody won't know about it, Dolph. You don't want innocent men killed, do you?
Of course I don't. But I don't want my cattle stole either.
Dolph, you mind if I ride back out to your place with you tomorrow and have a look around?
I got business in Dodge tomorrow, but I'm going out the day after. Be glad to have you.
Oh, good. Well, I'll meet you here then.
Okay, Marshal.
There's some men branding cattle up ahead, Dolph.
That'll be Tom and Blades. They got a camp near here. I put Tom in charge of this whole section.
They left Dodge yesterday morning early, Dolph.
I know. I saw them leave.
Oh, you did?
They didn't see me. I was sitting across the street.
Ah.
Yeah, that's Tom, all right. Coming to meet us.
He shouldn't stop work just because we ride by. We'll wait here. Who now?
Who?
Who's one?
Hello. Howdy, Tom.
Tom. What calves are those, Tom?
Oh, it's a bunch of men gathered day before yesterday, sir.
Where are the other men? How come just you and Blades are working them?
Oh, we got all but about 20 of them branded yesterday. I figured me and Blades could finish them alone.
Two men ain't enough with a bunch like that. You'd have saved time if you'd kept more men to help. Let's ride over there. I want to look at them.
Come on. Yeah.
Who? Who done? Blades. Maybe I better stay and help you.
Oh, no, sir. We're doing fine. We'll be all through by evening.
And your herd's getting scattered now.
We'll handle them. Sure, don't you worry none, Mr. Vickers.
I ain't worried none, Blades. Tom, next time you keep at least 3 more men with you when you got a bunch this size.
Okay, sir, I'll do it.
In case you're wondering about the marshal here in Chester, they're going to look things over for a day or so. Marshal thinks maybe he can cut the trail of them cattle thieves.
I sure hope so. We ain't had much luck, except for that one.
Now go on back to work. I'll ride out here next week sometime.
All right. Get that iron ready for another one, Blaze. It's red hot now.
Come on, Marshal. I'm late enough.
Sure is a nice evening, Mr. Dillon, ain't it? Don't you think so?
What? Oh, I was just wondering what kind of an evening it is in Dodge, Chester.
Oh, if there was any real trouble, somebody would have rode out and told you.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's been 2 days now. Oh, we better get back tomorrow.
That'll suit me fine. I swear we've rode 1,000 miles over this ranch. And all for nothing, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, maybe.
Why don't you come set in the porch, you two?
Oh, we're just walking our supper off a little bit, Dolph.
Yeah, I've been in the saddle so much the last 2 days, I need to stand.
Suit yourselves.
Dolph, from what the men tell me, you've lost only about 100 head of calves altogether. I had the impression that it was a lot more than that.
I won't put up with one calf being stolen from me, Marshal. I'm an honest man, and I work hard. And if a neighbor or stranger needs help, I'll give it to him gladly. But I'll kill the man that steals.
Well, I wish you'd do one thing for me, Dolph.
What's that?
The next time you lose any stock, send word to me before you turn this outfit into an armed camp.
Well, Marshal, if it was anybody else, I'd tell him to mind his own business. But, I'll do it.
Thank you, Dolph. Oh, by the way, we're going to be riding back to Dodge tomorrow.
All right. But I won't give you more than a couple of days next time.
Well, that's better than nothing, Dolph.
Get to Dodge if we stop and tally ever herd of cows we come across.
This is a bunch I wanted to see, Chester. We'll travel as a crow flies from here in. Come on.
Why was you so interested in that herd? We must have rode through it 10 times.
I was sort of interested in proving something to myself, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Now look up ahead there.
Oh, a couple of Dolph's men, I reckon.
Yeah, probably.
Or say, it's Tom and that fellow Blades.
Yeah.
Oh. Where's my old man, Marshal?
We left him at the ranch, Tom. We're going back to Dodge.
Empty-handed, huh?
Not quite.
What do you mean, not quite?
Well, Blades will tell you. I just looked over that bunch of stock back there.
Sure. We gathered them yesterday. Now we're going to do a little branding.
You better.
We'd better? You ain't bossing us, Marshal.
Just get them branded, Tom. All of them.
Of course we'll get them branded.
See that you do. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir. I don't understand what you was driving at, Mr. Dillon.
That's the same herd those two were working the day we rode by here with Dolph, Chester.
Well, say, now, I didn't notice that.
And you probably didn't notice about 20 calves in there that are still unbranded.
What do you mean?
Tom Vickers and his friend Blades are thieves, Chester. And probably murderers to boot.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, today, good engineers are needed in hundreds of varied fields. You can build a fine career as a trained engineer and at the same time help maintain America's scientific and engineering superiority. For information, write Box 40, Midtown Station, New York 18, New York. That's Box 40, Midtown Station, New York 18, New York. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
Chester, my boy, where's Matt?
Oh, he'll be back in a minute, Doc. Sit down.
No, don't mind me. Say, he told me about Dolph Vickers' son last night.
You know, the only thing I can't figure, Doc, is why he don't tell Dolph.
Oh, he's got his reasons, I expect, but I didn't come here to gossip. Did either of you had supper yet?
I ate early tonight. But Mr. Dillon probably go with you.
Yeah.
Good evening, Doc. You look hungry.
You look worried. Dolph Vickers, boy?
Yeah. Sooner or later, I'm going to have to arrest him, Doc. I've been trying to figure some way to do it without breaking the old man's heart.
Well, I don't suppose there is any other way, Matt.
Well, if there is, I haven't thought of it.
Somebody out back, Mr. Dick?
No, stay where you are, Chester. I'll see who it is. I'll be right with you, Doc.
Sure, Matt.
You're going to starve to death waiting for somebody to eat with around here, Doc.
Oh, why, fasting's good for Manchester. And a little of it wouldn't hurt you.
Oh. Seems to me I spent my entire youth fasting, Doc. I won't never make up for it.
Uh-oh. What's that?
I don't know, but I better go see. Mr. Dillon?
Get out, Chester.
Somebody shooting at you?
Quiet. It's okay, Chester. They've gone.
Somebody was shooting at you.
Yeah. After they knocked on the door, they ran out behind that far shed there. Plenty poor shooting.
Well, ain't we going after them?
Now, they had horses hidden there. I heard them ride off.
Well, I'll go buy a couple from the rail.
No, let them go, Chester.
Hey, but Mr. Dillon, they tried to ambush you.
I know. But I'd prefer not to shoot him. Especially Tom Vickers.
Tom?
We'll ride out to the ranch tomorrow, Chester. Maybe we can bring him in without a fight. Anyway, it's worth a try. For Dolph's sake. Anybody home?
Here comes somebody.
Hello, Marshal.
Hello, Dolph.
Chester.
Hello, Dolph.
Come on in. Come on in.
Thank you.
Where are you going, Tom? Ain't you going to say hello?
I got work to do.
What kind of manners was that?
There's no use running away, Tom. You wouldn't get far.
What?
Now, come on back and sit down, huh?
You do a lot of ordering around, don't you, Marshal?
Sometimes I do.
What's the matter between you, anyway?
Be better if you told him, Tom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Did you brand those calves the other day?
What calves?
Wait a minute, Doc. Did you, Tom?
Of course we did.
You willing to ride out there with us and prove it?
I ain't riding nowhere.
I've had enough of this. You tell me what you're talking about.
Tom?
Maybe you better tell me, Marshal.
Well, Doc, you remember the herd Tom and Blades were working the day we rode out here with you?
Of course I do.
Well, I saw that same herd on the way back to Dodge. There were still about 20 unbranded calves in it.
Say it out, Marshal.
I ran into Tom and Blades just beyond, and I told them to be sure and brand those calves.
Go on.
So they knew I was on to them.
On to what?
Dolph, I'm willing to bet everything I got that if we find that herd, those calves are either still unbranded or missing.
What makes you so sure?
Tom refuses to ride out there with us.
What you're saying is mighty serious, Marshal. I hope you won't regret it. Come on, Tom. We'll go see them calves.
No.
We're going out there, I said.
I ain't going.
You'll do what I tell you.
Not this time.
We're going if I have to knock you down and tie you onto your horse. And you know I'll do it.
Yeah, you would. Them calves ain't there.
Then where are they? 20 calves ain't hard to track, Tom.
Blades got them.
Got them where?
Up by Little Spring. You don't have to say it. I know Little Spring ain't on this ranch.
Go on.
And there are three other men up there. You don't know them. They're holding over 100 head by now.
Tom.
You gonna charge your own son for stealing from you? Are you?
Tom, you and Blades killed that stranger to help you cover up all this, didn't you?
It's too bad we didn't kill you, Marshal.
What's that?
They tried to ambush me in Dodge last night, Dolph.
My own son. A murderer. And a thief. Tom, come into the other room with me. You'll excuse us, gentlemen.
He's going to help him get away, Mr. Dillon.
Not if I know Dolph, he isn't. I expect he just wants to talk to him alone before we take him to jail.
Yes, sir. You know, I feel a whole lot sorrier for Dolph than I do for the boy.
I guess you should.
Mr. Dillon.
It's all right, Marshal.
Where's Tom?
I killed him. Here's my gun, Marshal.
I'm sorry you did it, Dolph.
I had to. Marshal, I'd like to bury him now.
We'll help you.
Nope. I'll bury my own dead. Then I'll ride into jail with you.
All right.
You'll get my calves back?
I'll pick up a posse when we get to Dodge.
The boy was my responsibility, Marshal. You understand that.
What you did was wrong, Dolph.
You can wait here in the cool of the house. I'll be back.
We'll wait.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Paul Dubov, Charles A. Baston, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke has been selected by the Armed Forces Radio Service to be heard by our troops overseas. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow, don't miss The High Mountain, a hard-hitting documentary report on the progress and problems of 15 million Negro Americans. Tomorrow in the daytime on most of these days.
That was Bad Boy, episode 91 and 97. Can't read my writing. With an original air date of the 27th of February, 1954. We started the show off with the Six Shooter. That was episode 26, Thicker Than Water. I'm listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM. And or WMFO.org. I don't know. Marco is not going to be here following this program. I do not recollect who his sub is. And they're not here yet. So I'm going to go ahead and play out Scott Joplin, a couple of piano rags. He had a birthday a couple of days ago. Play that out. Thanks for listening.